Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Oprah. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former block up has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Great program lined up for you today. We're going to hear from Floyd and Tony Irons in studio at about 11:30. But right now we have basketball royalty in Ryan Robertson, Scott Highmark. How can two people have more in common? State champions, public high schools. Played for legendary, folksy college coaches, Charlie Spoonhour, Roy Williams. Played in multiple NCAA tourneys. Even though they finished their careers with losses, they finished in style. 22 for Scott against a fellow by the name of Tim Duncan in Wake Forest. 31 for Ryan against Kentucky. 1,000-point scores, as Scott will remind us later on, 1704. High finance world for their careers. And now most of their retirement is spent writing checks to Westminster Christian Academy for their kids. Men, welcome to the program. Merry Christmas. How are you?
It's good to be here, Frank. I'm just glad to see that you're working today. I thought you played like the best of or Christmas music this week. I mean, to actually see you in the seat working, it's good to see you.
Good morning, Frank.
Good to see you, Ryan. All right, so much to discuss. Let me go to the hot topic of the week, the bragging rights game. And Missouri looked really impressive. I think, was it Kennesaw State that they played earlier? They beat by one. We're thinking, oh, my goodness, they lose. They win that game, but they lose all the great Porter. They just look like they weren't going to be any good. And then it was Saturday night, they looked really impressive. Thoughts, Ryan?
You know, I'm not one to ask. I did not watch much of the game, if at all. But as a fan of the Mizzou, frankly, I know people don't really believe that. I was just disappointed about the Jontay Porter thing. I was so sick for Mizzou fans and for him and, you know, going to have a great year, potentially get drafted. Anytime you see somebody like that, you know, have a season-ending injury. That was hard to swallow, I know, for Mizzou fans. But to be honest with you, I did not see much of the Mizzou Illinois game.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with when you lose a first-round draft pick, I don't know how you can expect to be an NCAA tournament team. But I know Konzo Martin, and I know he's a grinder, and I know he won't let those guys use that as an excuse. And, you know, Tillman's a pro. I mean, he just is. And
you think he's an NBA player?
I think ultimately he'll be an NBA player. I think he'll be on somebody's roster. He needs to get a lot more skilled. You can't just bully people in the NBA. But I think ultimately he's gonna have a chance. And then, you know, like we talked about Pickett a little bit off the air. I mean, I didn't know that he was that capable offensively. I think Mark Smith is terrific. You know, they've got some pieces. They need a more dynamic point guard. I love Geis. He gets a lot done, but they're going to need to play at the level that they want to play. They're going to need a little bit more dynamic backcourt. Torrance Watson's just going to get better. So I'm not surprised to see them getting better. I still think there's a lot of upside for that team.
Yeah, unbelievable. You just mentioned three players. All three of them committed to Illinois. Smith even played for Illinois, and now they're playing big roles for Mizzou.
That had to be a little hard to watch if you're an Illinois fan.
And every time Mark touched the ball, they were really nice with Pickett because Pickett just committed and got out pretty quick. They didn't like Tillman, but every time Smith touched the ball, it reminded me of you in Columbia, Ryan, when you touched the ball against the Tigers.
Really? They booed him?
Every time he touched it, it was unbelievable. It was nasty.
But that's a compliment to him because they think he's a good player and he would have been good in the Illini uniform, so it's just a compliment to him.
Now, have your paths ever crossed with Konzo, either playing against or...
I know, Scott, you have. I've met him a couple of times, but I don't think we ever played, I think, against each other. I think he's a little bit too old for me, but I know that he's been in the same gym as I have a couple of times. But I have never, you know, had a lot of extensive conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a year older than me when he was at East St. Louis Lincoln. He used to play in the Bonner League.
Right.
And so we
played against him?
Played a lot against him in the summers. He'd come to SLU, and we'd play when Bonner would come home, and he's playing in the NBA. We played
a
lot.
So he was a lockdown defender. Did he guard you? You're roughly the same size.
Well, yeah, but in summer league, which nobody guards. But if anybody guarded, he would guard. I mean, he was nasty. He was – people don't – they think of him at Purdue, but he got hurt in – and he was, I mean, he was a high flyer. He was a super athletic guy in high school, and he played the top of the, I mean, you probably saw him, Frank, in high school. He was athletic. And then at Purdue, he got hurt, and he ended up becoming more of like a standstill shooter.
Yeah, three-point shooter.
Which was ironic. But then my good friend Paul Lusk and Matt Painter, they all coached with him at Purdue, so I got to know him a little bit better through that.
Do you think you are who you are as a shooter by like age 19? I know there are examples, like Magic Johnson became a pretty decent three-point shooter at the end. But do you think you are who you are at 19, or can you improve much?
I think you can improve quite a bit, actually. I was not a very good shooter, believe it or not, in high school. I made a lot, but I wasn't really that good of a shooter. And I think when I got to college, I had to develop that if I was going to score more, right? Because I wasn't athletic enough to kind of take it inside. So I actually think the game made me become a much better shooter once I got to college. So I was probably 21 or 22, probably junior, senior, before I became a really knockdown shooter. And then when I played professionally, I started to be able to shoot a lot better off the dribble from threes. Because again, the game forced me to have to do that. So I think you're always developing parts of your game, especially being able to shoot it, would be my
view. I'm going to take the opposite. I think you were the exception to the rule. Because
really?
I remember seeing you play in high school, and you scored, whatever, 2,500 points in high school.
Yeah, you shot it.
But a lot of it was getting in the lane and runners and stuff like that. You were not a knockdown shooter.
That's right. That's my point.
So I think you were the exception where you made an exception.
Floyd Irons will be here an hour and a half. He will say that you were a knockdown shooter with three bombs in a row.
I made a lot against Coach Irons. In fact, I was reminiscing because then Scott just brought up the Bonner League. I miss the Bonner League. I wish I was young enough to play. I missed that old gym playing in the summer. That was great for my game, that league, and seeing Coach Irons kind of in the gym, in the Bonner League, being able to play those games. Those were some of my funnest memories. In fact, I see I started the Bonner League with Chip Walters, and I see Chip all the time, and his dad Rocky was our coach, and I was a freshman in high school playing in the Bonner League, and what an education for me.
Who else was on that team? That seems awfully white.
So, man.
You better have some athletes up front.
Chris Carr.
Oh, okay.
Chris Carr.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah, we had Chris Carr. So
Didn't Corey Tate play with you guys?
Corey Tate, from time
to
time.
Did he ever pass the ball?
Corey?
Yeah.
Rarely. But when I was a freshman and sophomore, he was the guy in town. Like
he was a good player.
He was averaging 32 or 33 points a game for Pattonville. He was an unbelievable player.
The only guy that could hold him down was Norm Stewart, as he would say.
Yeah. Who would you see in that league that you played against that was like unbelievable?
In the Bonner League?
Yeah. Throw out some names.
Every once in a while, Anthony
AB
Bonner.
Was there.
I remember Anthony Bonner used
lot.
To bring back some of the Sacramento Kings players.
You know,
he'd bring back Lionel Simmons one time. You know, you never know who would show up on a given week. Sometimes in the Bonner League, he'd bring pros back with him sometimes. But I do remember Chris Carr's interesting. He's a guy that came, he set out as a freshman at Southern Illinois, went to Pilots Knob, Missouri, is where he grew up. And was just a guy, but he was recruited by, I think, Bruce Weber at the time, and redshirted. And then the Bonner League, he came into the Bonner League 1 year after his freshman year, and all of a sudden he was like the best guy in town.
Yeah.
And he just, all of a sudden, he went from just a 6'4", run-of-the-mill Division I player to, I think this guy's going to be a pro. And it really came out of the Bonner
League. We played in the finals of the Bonner League when I was a freshman in high school, and I had no business really being in it at that point. Played very little, but Chris had a dunk in the finals in the Bonner League on like a Friday night. The gym was packed where he dunked over a guy, and it was one of those where like the gym, everybody kind of got up and almost left, and we kind of had to shut down the game for like 5 minutes. It's a dunk I'll never forget.
Oh, there was money. I mean, there was big time money going down in the finals of those.
I mean, gambling in the stands?
Oh, yeah, big time. There was money on the line, and you could tell.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's an example of my theory about the shooting, you are who you are, is a guy like Bonner, who as good a player as he was and had one of the greatest careers in SLU history, but you'd see him in the gym. We did a bunch of stories on him. He'd been there for 3 hours shooting nothing but 20-footers. In the end, he still couldn't shoot.
That's what I was going to say. I'd take the other side of that. I think by the time you're 14, my experience would say
that, really, that
by the time you're 14 or 15, you are who you are. Your mechanics are set. And I can, I mean, and all three, you know, you, Frank, and Ryan, you can walk in a gym really quickly and you can tell who can shoot. You can watch warm-ups and you can tell who has the right mechanics. And it rarely changes. I mean, and I love what Travis Ford's doing at St. Louis U, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But you watch the mechanics of some of the guys that they're it's going to be hard for them to become really a classic pure shooter. Because
a shot at Hassan French.
You know, it's like your golf swing. If you've shot it wrong,
yes.
if you swung wrong your whole life.
Or you cut your putts.
Yeah, like that's a shot at me. But if you do that your whole life, then all of a sudden somebody says that, it's going to be hard for you to change it. When you've shot 10,000 shots a certain way and they say all of a sudden get your elbow in, finish high, all the things that Dennis Beckett would say, it's hard to do.
But what about LeBron though? LeBron doesn't have that great of a shot.
No.
And he was not a good shooter when he came into the league.
Yeah.
And now he shoots threes, and I think they're going in every time.
No, I think there's exceptions, but yeah, I think the biggest body of work would suggest that you kind of are who you are.
Yeah.
By the way, Danny McLaughlin texting in, I did Ryan Robertson's record-setting game in high school, all-time assist scoring record. KC, LC Radio in Lindenwood, he could shoot. Don't let him lie.
And then the great Chris Trevino. And you did the state championship game, a
yes.
game that still is played in the Robertson household pretty regularly.
That's
not
right.
not my Robertson household, but my father's Robertson household.
And this is how bad we were. We said to Channel 5, okay, we will do the state championship game, but you have to play it at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Really a shame. I mean, when we played ours, it was at 6:30 at night with Ron Jacobra on the broadcast. But remember, all those games were like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Were.
We had Tom Holley as the color analyst on my game.
Is that right?
Game. Yeah, we still talk about that. Yeah.
Wow. All right, a couple other things we want to get to. We came out with a all-time St. Louis NBA team. So not high school, college, or pro, but we factored in a little bit of that. The list was Brad Beal and JoJo White in the backcourt. Stipo was the center. There haven't been a lot of great NBA centers from this area. And then we went with Bradley and McCauley as the forwards. Although David Lee, Larry Hughes, but factor in NBA career. I mean, McCauley's a seven-time All-Star, NBA All-Star MVP 1 year, too. And Bradley was pretty decorated. What else? Mm-hmm. Who else should be on there? What do you think?
Be hard to argue with that list. I didn't see JoJo White play much. Obviously, David
but a Lee, Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
it's hard to argue with.
David Lee has unbelievable numbers.
Yeah. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
No, and he was a two-time All-Star. So
yeah.
You know. I don't think you can debate that too much, although, I don't think that list needs to change much.
No. I mean, as much as I love Larry Hughes,
and
I think
and
he
David.
Was capable of being a multi-year all-star, you know, the stats are what they are.
And I keep bringing up the Bonner League, but I played in the Bonner League with David, and David was just a guy.
Yeah, totally.
David was
a junior
in college, Florida. He played with us, and you know, he was just like, I remember, hey, David Lee's going to play with you. Okay, cool, great, yeah, fine. As a junior in college, and you know, I was probably just out of college, and fine, he can play with us. And I thought, oh wow, really good player. I forgot how good David was. And the next thing you know, he's in, you know.
Yeah, in the league for 10 years.
Yeah. World championship.
Scoring 20-9 1 year.
But, absolutely.
And I didn't realize he was just a guy, but I always would hear anecdotal stories from my Eagles AAU buddies who would say when they would go on the AAU circuit in high school, David would dominate because he was super athletic.
Right.
And people didn't give him credit for how athletic he was. So that's when I thought, oh, this kid probably could make a living, but he got a lot better.
And that's also, I think, what some people sometimes forget about when they're watching college basketball, what translate in the NBA doesn't always translate in college. You can watch it, for example, and we probably won't talk about Kansas very much, but Didrik Lawson, right, who is everybody says is now in the conversation for National Player of the Year potentially, and he's averaging 20-10. Gosh, he is not athletic.
Yeah.
Smooth, gets a lot done, but is he athletic enough to play in the NBA as a potential National Player of the Year, and he's going to be all league and a lot of accolades? I just don't see him in the NBA.
Yeah. It's like Jalen Brunson last year. Great college player, but not going to be an NBA All-Star.
But he'll be on a roster.
Oh, yeah.
And he is on a roster.
Yeah.
And then local guys that have a chance to play in the league. Okay, so I do think that Tillman has a chance. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Tristan Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
That although Tristan Thompson was a high lottery pick after his freshman year, but if he's patient and stays another year at Mizzou and more skill development, I think he's got a chance. What about Cartier, who like when he was like a junior in high school, people said, well, he's one and done and everything.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential there, but he's got to stick around.
Yeah, I totally agree. But when you go to a SLU practice or a game and you walk out there and you look at one of these guys is not like the other, it's Cartier Gordon. I mean, and I've been so impressed. I heard so many stories. I saw him play a few times in high school. But, again, all I see is what I see on the court, Frank. But, I mean, I see a kid who's totally locked in, who's totally buying what the coach is selling, who's looking at the coach in the eye at timeouts,
yeah.
Who's hedging really hard on ball screens and getting back to his man, really locked in. And then, you know, if you see him in practice, I mean, he knocks down threes. He's super skilled. I mean, I think he can play out on the floor. He can guard on the floor.
How big is he?
6'8" and a half,
235.
I talked to their strength coach, and he's like, he's 235 now. He goes, he can carry 250, 255 easily and
so
not
So it's
lose.
An undersized four, though, the, where we are now, right?
But I think he might be able to be a stretch three at the next level. Again, but I don't think he's a one-and-done kid. I think he needs many years at SLU and development. I think Travis Ford and his staff will continue to work with them. But do I think he has the potential to play at the next level? Absolutely. More than anybody I've seen at SLU in a long time.
You think he has
even more than Troy?
Troy Robertson.
That's a close one. That's
close.
Athletically, we're talking about the same
about
kind of player.
Kind of the same body type, yes. Except for
is
the legs.
Is Troy listening, we hope?
Small head.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's take our first time out. When we come back, I want to get a couple of NBA thoughts and about the five best players in the world. In fact, write down the five best players in the world as we speak, and we'll see if our list are the same, because I think it's starting to be pretty convincing or pretty easy to figure out who the five best players are. Before we go to break, quick word about the Gatesworth Finest in Senior Living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, we recommend the Gatesworth 170 in Del Mar. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. We appreciate them being our title sponsor. We'll be right back.